God's been good to us. He woke us up, gave us another day. Didn't have to do it, but did it anyway. Amen. It's good to be alive. It's good to be in God's house, worshiping Him and giving Him praise because He's faithful and He's worthy of any praise and honor we can give Him. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I want to minister to you this morning. I'm going to read out of two different books there. Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And then I'm going to skip over to Isaiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read verse 16. So if you're able, please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And then Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16. And if you could, please stand to honor the reading of the Word of God as we begin reading. Now, before we get started this morning, I want you to understand that Jeremiah, the text this morning from Jeremiah, is given from the perspective of the potter when the clay is being formed. But our text in Isaiah is given from the perspective of the clay when that clay is being formed. And so I want you to think about that and have that in the back of your minds as we read from God's Word this morning. So if you would, let's read first of all from Jeremiah chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." And if you're underlining your Bible, I want you to underline that last part of that last sentence. He says, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And now I want us to read out of Isaiah chapter 29. And I'm just going to read one verse there, verse 16. It says, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding?" If you would bow your heads, lift your hands this way, and let's pray and go to the Lord and ask Him to move this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be here this morning. I bind the enemy that would come against You and Your work and Your Word. I render him helpless. By the work of Jesus, I plead the blood. Lord, I bind all disruption, all disunity. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that there would be a spirit of unity, a spirit of receptiveness to what You would say and do in our hearts and in our lives this morning. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive. Lord, bring us together that we might, Lord, be moldable. Lord, that You might do Your work in our lives. Lord, I pray right now that You would anoint me, that I'd preach Your word. Lord, I pray that You would be glorified through everything that's said and done in this service. Lord, we're here to honor and glorify and praise Your name. And we pray that Your name is glorified and praised this morning. We give this service to You. And we say, have Your way, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I've been ministering on the theme in times of trouble. Didn't really plan it. The Holy Ghost just brought us there. And so we've been there for a while. And I want to minister to you a message this morning that the Lord laid on my heart that I've entitled, When You're on the Potter's Wheel. And there are times we talked about where you're in the valley. And maybe you're in the valley because you made some bad decisions. Or maybe you're in the valley because God has led you to the valley. And you got to go through the valley to get on the mountaintop. And we talked about that. There are times when you're under a direct attack of the enemy in your life. And we talked about that. And there are also times when God puts you on the potter's wheel. And He takes His hands and applies pressure to your life. And it feels like your life is spinning out of control. Because when you're on the potter's wheel spins really fast. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, it's not really, I don't think, a time of trouble, because the potter's wheel is a good place to be. It doesn't feel like a good place to be at the time, and it may seem like everything is out of order and chaotic, but God is actually doing His best work in our lives when we're on the potter's wheel. So I don't know that I would call it a time of trouble, although it's a difficult time in our lives. Amen? But I want you to notice, first of all, as we get into the message, I want you to understand this fact, that we are not the potter. We are the clay.
Amen.
And that's important that we realize that as we get started, that God is the potter. That He has all the authority, all the power, all the wisdom, all the resources to do His work in us and through us. And it's Him that does the work, not us. See, we live in a world today, and unfortunately, sometimes it happens in the church where some people think that they can form God, or that they can form other people. In other words, they want to conform other people to what they think and what they want and how they feel. But God didn't call us to that. God didn't call us to that. That is not our, that is out of our range. We can't do that. We don't have the capability. We don't have the ability to shape and mold lives. That's not what God has called us to do. Now, what do? We disciple people. We train people according to the Word of God. And we act in our own lives according to the Word of God. But God never called us to shape and mold other people. He called us to disciple and train them. We're not the potter. God never called us to shape and mold ourselves. We don't have the ability to do that, because we are not the potter. We are the clay. And we need to understand that starting off right now, because we live in a society today that wants to mold other people, and sometimes it's in the church. Look, don't tell me what you think or how you feel. Tell me what God's Word says, because that's all that matters. And we have that in the world, where the world wants to shape and mold God.
Yes.
Where they won't listen. The Word, God has, is the same. He has not changed. He will not change. God's Word is the same. It has not changed. It will not change. Look, God will not change His Word or who He is just to suit what we want and what we think and what is politically correct in our times. Jesus Christ is still the only way to heaven. Fornication is still fornication. Sex outside of the confines of marriage, God still says flee it, because it's a sin against your own body. Homosexuality is still an abomination to God. God's Word does not change to suit the times and what we think and how we feel and what we want. God is still God, and His Word is still forever settled in heaven. It does not change, because He is the potter and we are the clay. We don't mold Him. We don't shape His word to fit what we want. It is His Word, and it's forever settled in heaven. And He is God. He changes not. And He is the potter, and we are the clay. And we need to understand that as we go forward in this morning. We don't change God. He changes us. We don't change God's Word. God's Word changes us. God is the potter, and we are the clay, church. And in our society today, they want to mold God into what they want Him to be. And we don't need to be that. We need to be real careful, church, that we don't become guilty of that as well. God's Word is still God's Word. Sin is still sin. Jesus is still the only way to heaven. Hell is still real, and real people go there. It does not change to suit our desires or our wants or what we think or feel. God's Word is still God's Word. We are the clay, and He is the potter. And His Word is forever settled in heaven. Now, most of us like to be in control, don't we? That's our nature. Most of us like to drive the car. And some of us, when we're not driving the car, we like to give detailed directions and instructions. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't look at your wife. You're going to get in trouble, man of God. Don't look at your wife. But that's how we are most of the time. I can remember the first time I got on the ride at Six Flags as a kid, arachnophobia, and it was the last time too. But I can remember I got on that ride and I was thinking, Lord, please help me survive this ride. And there was somebody on that ride and they said, Lord, give me it. They said, they were yelling to the person working the ride. They said, stop the ride. Get me off. I got to get off. And do you know when they got off? When the ride was over. Because you don't get to control what's going on, how fast things fly in your life, and what you deal with when you're on the potter's wheel. We don't get to hold up our hand and say, time out, God, I need a breather. We like to be in control. We like to tell God how it should be and what he needs to do. And he's the potter. He said, nope, we're going to do this thing, and I'm going to do it my way. And you have two choices. You will either submit and be molded into what I've called you to be, or you will be marred in my hands. That is the only choice we have, is submission to the hands of God or being marred by resisting what God is wanting to do in our life. But we can't stop what God is doing. We don't have the ability to do that because we're not the potter. We're not driving the car, and we're not in control. There's been many times in my life where if I could tell the Lord, give me, just let's take a break right here. I just need a breather. Let's take a break. Let's stop right here. And you can pick this up in about a month or two. You ever been there? Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. Well, just hang on, because you will be at some point. Because things happen in our lives when we're on the potter's wheel. When God is shaping us and forming us, and it gets difficult. And it doesn't feel good. And it's uncomfortable. And we don't like it. But the clay has no control over the shaping and the molding process. You don't get to choose what you lose. You don't get to choose what God is going to do and how he's going to do it. On the potter's wheel, you lose all sense of control. You lose all sense of direction. Because in order to submit to the work of God's hands, you first of all have to realize that you really have no control. And you don't. You like to feel like you are. We live in a society that says, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, be a self-made person, and you can do that all you want. But if you are stricken with an illness, guess what? Everything will change. You can try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you work hard. And guess what? During the Great Depression, there was a lot of hard-working folk that lost everything in a day. So as much as we like to think we are in control, can I just, I hate to burst your bubble, but I just got to let you know that you're not.
Yes,
and it's on the potter's wheel that everything kind of spins out of control. It seems like there's chaos. But we need to understand that we can't do it if we're going to be mobile. We need to understand that we can't, but God can. That we don't know, but he knows. If God is going to mold us to be what he's called us to be, we don't get to vote on what God does. And that's tough for us in this society to realize. Because in our society, we get to vote on our officials, and in our organization, we vote on our officials, and most churches vote on our officials, and I'm not knocking that. Praise God, we need to be that way. But when God puts you on the potter's wheel, guess what? You don't get a vote. You don't get to give your opinions and your ideas, because God puts you on that potter's wheel, and he starts working, and he starts spinning, and things get chaotic. and you don't understand what's going on, and things start happening quick, and you say, God, what am I going to do? And God just starts forming you, and your opinions and your thoughts and your ideas don't matter, and you finally realize that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit that things are going to be accomplished in your life, and you realize that His thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and His ways are higher than your ways, and the best that we have to offer God is not good enough for us to get to where He's calling us to be. We've got to submit to His hand. Our opinions and our ideas don't hold weight on the potter's wheel. You hear me, church? I know we don't like to hear that because we live in a society where we vote and we decide, and that's great, and we need to do that in church, and we need to do that in society sometimes. But let me tell you something. When God puts you on the potter's wheel, you don't get a vote. It's His way or you're going to be marred. And it's important to realize that when we are on the potter's wheel. Because when we're on the potter's wheel and He gets ready to shape and mold us, like I said before, things get chaotic and we are in an uncomfortable environment, just like the potter's wheel when it spins. It's chaotic, it's uncomfortable, things happen fast, we don't get a break, and we all like comfortable, don't we? How many of y'all say, I do not like being comfortable? I think everybody likes being comfortable. And surely there are times in our lives when we need the mountaintop experience. Amen? Praise God for the mountaintop experience. We need that sometimes, but that's not where God has called you to live your whole life. In fact, that's not where God has called us to live the majority of our life here on this earth. Because you're not shaped and formed on the mountaintop. In fact, if you read here in Jeremiah, where we just read in chapter 18, you'll read that when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the first thing He said was, go down to the potter's house. Because I want you to realize that the molding and the shaping in your life happens when you have to go down. It's in the low places of our lives that God does His best work. We have to go down to the potter's house. It's not on the mountaintop that God shapes and molds you. It's in those difficult times in our life where we don't understand what God is doing and things seem chaotic and things seem to be spinning out of control, and God is shaping us and forming us and putting pressure on us so that He can create us and shape us into what He wants us to be. It's not a comfortable place to be, but God's comfort, or our comfort, is not God's priority. Do you hear me? Your comfort is not God's priority. In fact, do you know what the Word of God says in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1? He says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Listen, God didn't send His Son to die on the cross so that you and I can live plush, comfortable lives here on this earth. That's not why Jesus came and bled and died on the cross. Jesus came and bled and died on the cross and rose again on the third day, so that we could be transformed. And that is God's priority in your life and in my life, is transformation. He wants to take you from a lump of clay to a vessel that He can use. And everything you go through on the potter's wheel is the process of taking you from a lump of clay and creating you and making you into a vessel of honor that He can use for His glory. And a lot of times we like to be comfortable, but comfort is not what God is after in our lives. It's transformation. It's transformation. It's the process on the potter's wheel. The combination of the situations, the spinning out of control, the chaos, combined with the hands of the potter and His touch that makes us what He is creating us to be. And God wants to shape us and mold our lives, but we have to be moldable and shapeable. We have to be someone who says, it's not my will, but Your will be done, Lord. I will humble myself under Your mighty hand and be moldable. God will shape you. He will mold you. And the stability in our lives will be shaken many times. But God is wanting to create in us something greater, far greater than what we could even imagine. God will call us out many times and require us to act in faith. Have you noticed how when God begins to do His work in our lives, I don't see an example in God's Word. And maybe if some of you have one, come see me and let's talk about it. But I don't see an example in God's Word where God transforms and remakes His people, where God takes a lowly shepherd and makes him a king, where God takes somebody on the backside of the desert and calls him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, where God takes somebody that is a slave and makes him second in command in Egypt, where it's an easy process and it's a mountaintop experience. I don't see it, church. It's in the process of the potter's wheel where we're put under pressure and things seem chaotic and out of control and we don't understand the hows or the whys or the wheres, that God takes us from where we are and transforms us into what He wants us to be. David wasn't ready to be king until he went through his troubles and trials where he had to flee and hide. It was in the process that he became king. God molded him into king. Oh, He put him on the potter's wheel when he was on the run. Amen. David was in the cave one day. I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 24. David was in the cave. And his men were in the cave hiding from Saul because he was running like a fugitive and he had done nothing wrong. The only thing that he had done was to be anointed of God to be the predecessor to Saul, the next king. That's all. And because of that, because it was going to cut off the kingship line from Saul's bloodline, Saul hated him. And he wanted to destroy him. And David was on the run from Saul, had done nothing wrong, was attacked unjustly, and he's hiding in the cave with all of his supporters and loyal men. And here comes Saul, who had been looking for David. He was looking for David because he wanted to destroy him. And he comes in in that cave. He says, "I got to use the bathroom. I got to relieve myself." And he comes into the cave where David and his men are hiding. And his men nudge him and say, "Here it is, David. Here it is. This is your time. This is your moment. Take him out. Take him out." You know what David did? He said, "I'm not going to lift my hand against God and never anoint him. But this is what I will do. I'll take and I'll cut off a little corner of his robe that he laid to the side while he was relieving himself." And when the king left, he come out of the cave and he said, "King, I have done you no harm. I mean you no harm. I had within my hands to destroy you. And just know this day between God and me and you that I have no ill will in my heart against you. And here is the proof." And he held up that little corner of the king's robe. And you know what Saul did? Saul began to weep. Saul began to cry and he said to David, he said, "I know now of a surety that you're going to be the next king. Because God has done something in you. There's something different about you." It was in the process on the potter's wheel that God molded David into who he was going to be. He wasn't ready to be king at the exact moment he was anointed. But when God put him on the potter's wheel, when he got through, he was ready to be king. It's in the process that God molds us into who and what He wants us to be, church. And God many times will come to us in the most unopportune times, at least that's how we feel, when we say, "Not now, God. Can't we do this later? There's got to be a better time for this than right now." I think about Gideon. Given the scripture there, let me read it to you. I got it wrote down. In Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6. Gideon is there. And he's threshing wheat. Hiding. Just trying to get a little bit of food for his family to get by. Just trying to make it. Hiding. And the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon there. And do you know what he says to Gideon? The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And he's hiding, threshing wheat, just trying to survive, just trying to scrounge up enough food for him and his family. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you. You're a mighty man of valor." And everything that's going on in his life contradicts that statement. But God was calling him out. He saw who he was. He knew him before he was even born. He knew the end from the beginning. And he was calling out the mighty man of valor that was within Gideon. And he says to Gideon, "You mighty man of valor, now I want you to go. You're going to lead my people in battle against the enemy." He calls somebody to lead his people into battle against the enemy, who was stronger, who was more organized, who had more weapons, who had the ability to do more. He sends him out to battle as the leader and calls him when he is hiding behind a wine press trying to get a little bit of food like a coward, and says, "You're a mighty man of valor. You're going to lead my people into battle against a stronger, more prepared enemy." And I'm sure if you read the scripture there, you get what Gideon is trying to say. Hey, wait a minute. And Gideon struggles with it. He puts out the fleeces because he says, "This is not really who I think I am. And this is not really the time I think for this." But God called him nevertheless. I think of Moses, who God called. And many people believe that Moses didn't know his calling until the burning bush. But I dare to disagree with you, because if you read in Acts chapter 7, verse 25, you'll find there that the scripture lets us know with a certainty that Moses already knew what his calling was. God had already told him. The problem was that he tried to make it happen in his own way. And because he tried to make it happen in his own way, in the flesh, in his own abilities and thoughts, rather than relying on the power and the anointing of God, he ended up having to flee for his life, and he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. 40 years! That's a long time, church. I'm 41. I shouldn't have said that. I'm okay. I guess it doesn't matter. I don't mind you going out. I'm 41. 40 years is a long time. Okay. And after 40 years on the backside of the desert, God appears to him through the burning bush and calls him to go back to the place that he had to flee for his very life from. And I'm sure after 40 years, Moses thought, "This thing's over. I'm not going to do this. God's got another plan in mind. I'll enjoy the backside of the desert. I'll make the best out of a not so good situation. And I'll settle down here on the backside of the desert and live out my life." And after 40 years, God comes to him and says, "Okay, now that which I had showed you that you knew, but that you didn't handle the right way and understand and wait on me, now it's time." Because on the backside of the desert, Moses was on the potter's wheel. And God was working on Moses. And when Moses was ready, God said, "Okay, it's time." And here's Moses after 40 years, having to go back to where he fled for his life. I can imagine maybe some wanted posters with Moses' face on it in Egypt, because he killed an Egyptian guard. And that didn't set well with the Egyptian people. and the leaders in Egypt. But God said, you're going to go back there. And you're not going to go back there and mingle in with the crowd, Moses. No, no, no. You're going to go back there. And you're going to stand before the most powerful man, one of the most powerful men at the time in the world, who is the leader of Egypt. It's like being wanted and walking up to the United States Attorney General's office and knocking on the door. And God calls him to that. Oh, and by the way, he had problems speaking. Oh, and by the way, he was raised up with this powerful man just to complicate things a little bit more. So was it an opportune time for Moses? I'm sure Moses would have said, nah. Nah. I'm sure he thought, let's wait until they all die off and the wanted posters go down. Let's wait until there's a change in the situation. Or better yet, Lord, I'm not qualified. I can't talk right. Why don't you just get somebody else? And God calls him anyhow. God has a way of doing that when he's shaping and molding us and doing a work in us and through us. And here's what I want you to understand. Don't resist the hands of God on the potter's wheel. Because see, you have a choice. You can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, or you can resist what God wants to do. God does not make you do anything. He puts us in situations, and then we have to choose how we will respond. And when we're put on the potter's wheel, God is putting us in a situation to shape and mold us. But we have the choice to humble ourselves and under his mighty hand or resist. And if we resist, we will become marred. 1 Peter 5 and 6 and 7, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then it says, it's casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I thought about that scripture, those two scriptures, and how does humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God fit in with casting all our care upon him? Well, let me just say this. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you're on the potter's wheel, and he's doing a work in your life, there are going to be some cares. There are going to be some troubles. There's going to be some things that you're battling with that you don't understand. And he says, look, cast them on me. Don't worry about it anymore. Don't think about it anymore. Surrender it to me and humble yourself under my mighty hand. Let me do what I'm wanting to do in your life. If we're going to be shaped and formed successfully without being marred, we need to understand this fact too. We're going to have to learn that our contentment and our satisfaction is not found in anything other than God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said, I have learned to be content in whatever state I find myself in. When I'm on the potter's wheel, and it's painful, and I feel like there's no stability, and everything seems chaotic in my life, Paul said, I have learned to be content. I've learned to be content when I'm beat up. I've learned to be content when I'm bruised and bleeding. I've learned to be content when I'm stripped of my clothes and my dignity. I've learned to be content when I'm put in jail unjustly and chained to the inner prison. And when things don't seem fair and I don't understand why. And I don't understand the struggle. I have learned to be content in the midnight hours of my life. Because I understand that God is sovereign. And he has a plan for my life. And he is shaping me and molding me. We need to learn contentment in every situation. If we're going to be molded into what God would have us to be, we've got to submit our lives to His plan. And listen, we can't get bitter on the will. We can't get bitter on the will, because some people do. But God can take a bad situation, a bad decision, a disappointment, a deep hurt, an attack of the enemy, whatever you're going through, God can take it and turn around and use it to mold us. But we have to keep our integrity in the midst of every situation. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, you know what it says? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? If you're going to go up on the mountaintop, how are you going to get there? Who is going to make it? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 26 and verse 11 says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. The psalmist says there, look, I've made up my mind that no matter what situation I find myself in, no matter what I go through, I will walk in my integrity. I will not compromise what God is doing in my life. I will not compromise the truth of God's word to try to better or ease my situation. I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to keep doing what He's called me to do, and I'm going to be moldable, and I'm going to let Him shape my life into what He would have it to be. Listen, sometimes being shaped and molded is a difficult process, and it puts us in difficult situations. I think of a man that got saved a long time ago, come to church. He was coming to church, and he talked to me about some things in his life, because God had started working on him. You know how when you get saved, that the Holy Ghost will start convicting you of things that you know are not right, or that you, as you got saved, God begins to show you are not right. And God, through His Holy Ghost, will begin to put His finger on things and say, you need to change that. You got to let that go. There needs to be a change here. And He began to talk to me about those things, and I didn't respond other than by saying, you already know what to do. I don't have to tell you, because the fact that we're talking about it tells me that you already know. But you know what? He was unwilling to do it. He said, but if I do, what's going to happen to me? Because he was in a difficult situation. But you know what I said to him? You trust God. You do what God tells you to do, and you trust Him. But he couldn't do it, because he said, but if I do this, what's going to happen to me? And he couldn't get past it. As far as I know, he's not in church today. He's back in the world. All because he was unwilling to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. Look, it's not always easy to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There are difficult decisions that sometimes must be made if we are going to be shaped into what God would have us to be. But if we don't, we will be marred. I think of Lot's wife. She was unwilling to move forward with God because she was too attached to her past. And she became one. There's a danger in resisting the hands of the potter. Now listen, I want to make this point as we go on. Look, I'm so glad that God gives us second chances. He's a God of second chances. Because the scripture tells us here that when the clay became marred, it was in the potter's right. And he would have been justified by throwing it away and starting over with another piece of clay. But he didn't do that, did he? The scripture says that he took that clay and he began to remold it and put it back on that potter's wheel. And he made it over again, another vessel. Praise God. We ought to stop and praise God right here that he's a God of second chances. It doesn't throw us away when we make mistakes, but he puts us back on the wheel and begins to mold us one more time. But there's a danger in resisting the hands of the potter and what he's wanting to do in our lives. I want to say something that I felt impressed by God to say to you, and this is for someone in this service. God is wanting to do a new thing in somebody's life here this morning. Don't sabotage the work of God in your life. Do you hear me? Don't you sabotage what God is wanting to do. Don't you forfeit the blessing that God has for you. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. Can't be led by your feelings or your thoughts. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. I think of Esau. Esau had a birthright. He had authority. He had blessing. He had the blessings of God, the hand of God on his life because of his birthright. But he got to the place in his life where he said, what good is this? I don't see the benefits of what I got. I don't see the benefits of what God says he's going to do for me. What good does that do me right now? And the scripture said he come in one day, and I'm sure he was disgusted and discouraged about the way his life was going. You don't just get tired and make decisions like that. Amen? And he come in from being out hunting or whatever he was doing that day, and he come in and he was hungry, and he said to Jacob, he said, why don't you fix me a bowl of food, a pottage of meat there? And Jacob said, I'll do it. You just give me that birthright. And you know what the scripture said Esau did? He said, what good is it to me? I want to be satisfied right now. So give me the pot of meat. You can have the authority. You can have the blessing. You can have the hand of God and what he has for me. Just satisfy me right now. Don't forfeit what God has for you to be satisfied and comfortable right now. Because what God has for you is far greater than what you are reaching for right now. Amen. Don't forfeit it to be comfortable. And Esau forfeited. He said, you can have it. And Jacob took that birthright. And the scripture said Esau came to the place later on in his life where he said, I made a mistake. I messed up. I should have never done that. And I'm so thankful that God forgives us. But can I tell you something? There's some decisions you make that you can't undo. I don't care how sorry you are. There are some decisions that cannot be undone. And Esau found that out the hard way. Esau said, you can have it. And he came back later in his life and he said, just give it to me back, Lord. Oh, give it to me back. The scripture said he sought it diligently with tears. But it wasn't going to happen. Because once it was forfeited, it was forfeited. There was no undoing the transfer of what God had for him and the blessing and the double portion and the authority that God had placed on his life and the favor that God had placed on his life. Once he said, I don't need it, you can have it. There's a danger in resisting the hand of the potter in your life. There's decisions that you can't undo. Now you can, the Lord is faithful and just. If we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But he don't undo everything you do when you sin. There are decisions and circumstances and obstacles and battles that you will not be exempt from when you resist the hand of the potter. We need to understand that this morning. Don't forfeit what God has for you, church. for satisfaction right now. Don't fight what God's wanting to do in your life. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the promise. It's for an appointed time. Wait for it. Wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. It's for an appointed time. God is going to do what He said He would do. But you've got to accept and trust and be moldable when He is working in your life. I know we don't like to hear that. We want to come to church and we want to say, I'm going to go down to the altar and pray, and when I get up, everything's going to change in my life, and everything's going to be easy, and all the things going to disappear that are difficult, and it's going to be rainbows and daisies in my life from this point on. But I hate to tell you, that is not the case. God will not change everything in your life to make it comfortable for you. But what He will do is He will change you, and He will give you the grace that you need to walk through. But we can't fight what He wants to do in our lives. Stand with me.